So here we go. So this is John Kinzel. So I'm interviewing Walter Dunderville, and we're here in Brooklyn on March 11th, 2010.
Hi, John.
Okay. So I wondered if you to begin with maybe reaching back in time a little bit. To talk a little bit about your background in the visual arts, mm-hmm. and maybe how it impacts your work and performance, and maybe to give two examples, one recent and one in the either not so distant past mm-hmm. or maybe very far back.
Of things that impacted?
Yeah, the relationship.
Went to college to study art, and I was I had this big debate with myself as a teenager about what I wanted to do. I'd always had art in mind, but then I also really enjoyed theater and music and did a lot of that in high school. And then right before I graduated, I started taking dance classes, and I loved it. But I felt like it was too late to try to go audition for a dance school because I didn't really know how to dance.
So that was still right near the end of high school?
Yeah, junior, senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. So I went off to art school, and that's what I felt really committed to. And then I would just sort of sporadically take dance classes until I just started taking dance classes as electives throughout to college. And then I moved to New York to paint, to be an artist, and I just kept going to classes. Mm-hmm. I was working at a gallery full-time in the daytime, and then I would go to classes at night. And then through a friend, I started doing freelance gardening work, which freed up my daytime hours, and then I really started committing myself to dance classes, and then I just realized, I guess I'm dancing.
Right.
So
can I interrupt mm-hmm, you?
Yeah.
So going back, what was the, just to get very biographical, mm-hmm. in the end of high school, mm-hmm. what was the dance, where were you, what kind of dance?
It was like jazz classes. Take at the local studio. A teacher at my high school who was a journalism teacher. She was young, she was just out of college. I thought she was, older, of course, because right. I was a teenager, but she, was teaching dance classes at this local studio. Mm-hmm. And so she encouraged me to come and take classes. Mm-hmm. So I took jazz classes. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing happened actually when I was in college at the University of Georgia, that there was a ballet teacher there who taught mm-hmm. Sometimes at the university, but mostly on her own. And she also kind of got me to start taking ballet classes with her.
Uh-huh. How'd you find that?
I had done this concert with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know how to dance, so we just kind of make this stuff up, and so we did this concert. And this woman, the ballet teacher, Janet mm-hmm. Robertson, saw me and said, come take ballet class. And she would come pick me up at my apartment and drive me to ballet class. And I would be there with all of these, girls and young women who are all very serious. And I would have no concept of what to do. And she would just tell me to move across the floor. Just don't worry about what I was doing. Just try to keep in time or just... So a lot of, I think, the dancing stuff was just getting over a fear and a self-consciousness. Underneath, I really wanted to do it, and on the outside, I was just afraid of actually doing it.
Right.
So there was always a real battle between fear and self-consciousness, and then just doing.
Right. And then in college, you did find classes to go to.
Yeah, there was a dance department, and I went there, and then I ended up dancing in the college dance company. And then there was a teacher there who had been in Cloud Gate from Taiwan, Wenyu Wang, and I started taking her Gram class, and then she brought Anna Soklo in to set rooms on the concert dance company. And so I did rooms, and she told Wunyo that I should be a dancer. And then Wunyo told me that, and it sort of just gave me more confidence. Mm-hmm. So that this is not long before I moved to New York that I was decided to just continue to take classes and see what would happen. And I didn't really think that I would be a dancer. I thought that I would just figure out some way to make performative work that was rooted in my visual art, and that dance would be a way for me to figure out how to structure performances.
Interesting.
So.
So, yeah, I guess I'll stick to this idea, mm-hmm. two examples, but if, just to say a little more, I mean, in terms of concretely mm-hmm. how it impacted an actual piece.
Right.
One recent, one in the past, mm-hmm. but to say more in terms of these kind of informative years, it sounded like certainly significant exposure, which is not interesting in mm-hmm. terms of the dance sort of world.
Right.
And it sounded like you got to perform, because sometimes it's just a lot of dance, and then, you know. So, what's the relationship, you know, to mm-hmm. the technical work of
right.
training, and then also the right. performance? Because then you say mm-hmm. performative.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's funny. That's a word I would use now. It's not a word that was even in my vocabulary
right.
at the time.
Right.
You know what I think came out of it? Well, I felt. When I was taking those classes, I first went to the Hawkins studio. I'm not even really sure why. It was sort of instinctive. I mm-hmm. just kind of found my way there.
I went there.
And I felt really, you did?
A couple times.
I got very committed to it. Mm-hmm. When did you go there?
I don't know, early, late 80s, early
90s. Yeah, me too. We were probably there at the same time. and it was great. It was a great place for me. And then I started dancing with Gloria McLean, who was in the company at the time. Uh-huh. And she introduced me to Eden Sard, and then I started performing with Eden Sard. So I sort of merged into performing.
Right.
You know, while I was still trying to figure out how to actually dance.
Right. But when you say, you know, in college, because you did complete mm-hmm. that degree with...
Yeah, I keep avoiding your actual question.
No. But you completed a degree in painting and drawing. And in that program, and where was it?
It was at the University of Georgia.
And was there, at that time, much... or connection to how that can branch or reach out into performance?
Not so much in a literal way the way it would be now, but there was a real openness about that department.
Right.
I started off, my freshman year of college, I went to Boston University, mm-hmm. which was a real conservatory program.
Right.
And it was very structural. People who stayed at that school for 4 years came out painting like they were Robert Henri and John Singer Sargent.
Right.
You know, they were very rooted in this like late 19th, early 20th century tradition. But it was a great place to learn to draw and paint technically. And then just for financial reasons, I went back to Georgia after my freshman year, and I ended up going to the state school. And the department at the University of Georgia was just there were some really great painting teachers there. Mm-hmm. And the ideas there were more open-ended mm-hmm. about finding your voice and about creativity, and a lot of the people in the department were sort of post-abstract expressionist painters, so there was a lot of that sensibility mm-hmm. that was being passed on,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't a school that had been infused with a lot of like theory or postmodern ideas
mm-hmm.
yet, as other schools kind of peers and friends who were going to other places were getting exposed to different concepts.
Mm-hmm.
My training was more sort of traditionally modernist.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, there's still exposure to contemporary ideas through different individual teachers, but just as the overall arc of the school, it was really more about this sensibility about painting and abstraction and And so I think how it impacts later on down the road is a way of thinking. Mm-hmm. There's a way of thinking as a painter. Mm-hmm. And particularly, there's a different way of thinking as a sculptor, for example. But there's something about, at least the way I was trained, where you think that you're working constantly over the canvas, over the field. You don't stop and kind of pinpoint an area and get fixated on it. You're trying to keep things loose and build into a tighter structure as you go. And that stayed with me, because even now, if I'm making a piece, and it happened in this piece, even if I don't know what the ending of the piece is, I'm still working with the concept of the ending in the middle. Like, mm-hmm. I have the kind of overall time arc in my head, and I feel like I'm bouncing around a lot.
Right.
Even if I don't know where things are going to get placed ultimately,
right.
I'm not really working from here's the beginning, I'm going to keep progressing forward linearly until
right.
we arrive at what becomes the end. So I feel like in a time way, I'm applying something that I learned about space mm-hmm. two-dimensionally into time and three-dimensional space.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, if I could have you reiterate that mm-hmm. distinction was nice when you were describing, also because you just had nice body language, but when you were describing an all-overness, mm-hmm. Meaning surface of the canvas,
right.
relationship to the surface. So, as I guess as opposed to, you were saying, what, going in more to a detail or something?
Right. Like
so, I thought that sort of same thing just earlier as I was mm-hmm. preparing for you to come, for us to talk with the piece that you did. Maybe I'll just pick it for you. So the mm-hmm. two pieces, maybe.
Thank you.
The one he did the Nothing Festival,
mm-hmm.
and which was called. Can you remind me?
Would you read my poetry?
Would you read my poetry? Anyway, and it was how many? The cast was three with a cameo.
Yeah, three with a cameo. Crazy close.
And. So, yeah, because that to me had a kind of all-overness feel mm-hmm. to it.
Mm-hmm. That was a piece where I started. I had done this with earlier pieces I had made. Like, I sort of would make pieces periodically,
mm-hmm.
but since I had become focused on being a dancer, then I wasn't really pursuing making choreography on a regular basis. So that was the first piece where I was really sort of diving in. And I found that I started making the costumes first. So that was my way in, was through this visual element. And then in making the actual movement and the choreography, I kept going to stillness. And every time I would make more intricate choreography, things that I would just naturally do on my body, it felt superfluous to whatever it was I was getting at. I was trying to figure out what I was getting at. And so I kept kind of negating early on in the process mm-hmm. and trying to boil it down from the beginning to some kind of essence of what it felt like was happening, and trying to keep... It wasn't that I wanted to keep movement out of the way, it's just I wanted to keep complicated movement ideas out of the way. For myself, it was almost like I needed things to just clear out so I could see.
Were you working with, when you say you started with costumes first, because mm-hmm. The design elements were so strong in mm-hmm. the piece and really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And but I'm wondering, did you... When you say costumes were first, did you actually work with the costumes in the studio?
Or was yeah, in the way I made the costumes. So, the costumes, for the people that didn't see it, were 18th century inspired, late 18th century inspired dresses made out of muslin. And some, like, big plaid taffeta, which was actually curtains from my house. It was just fabric that I put up as curtains and decided to take it down. But I was just working with big sheets of muslin. Like, the costumes weren't really constructed. I would bring them into the studio, and we would play with them as clothing and see what happens. It came in the middle of this fixation that I had developed on the late 18th century.
Right.
Particularly around the period of the French Revolution in France and in England. And I'd been stuck on it since the late 90s. Mm-hmm. It had just come up when I was making a piece in 1999 or 2000. Mm-hmm. And so it just reemerged in making that piece, and I decided to just go with it. And so that became an entry point into seeing, what is that about? Like, why am I doing that? Mm-hmm. So it introduced this concept of history. And I knew I didn't want to use dance as a way of commenting on history, but I just wanted to figure out what I was so fixated on.